Hello and welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, the podcast bringing you back to those magical Christmas mornings as a kid. I am one of your hosts, Lyle Perez.
And I'm your other host, Lasse Vogt.
Lasse, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I have to deal with a lot of personal job-related stuff right now, but so far, I'm fine.
Oh, sorry to hear that. I hope everything gets better for you.
Yes.
All right, so in this episode, we watched the sitcom Martin, and the episode we saw was I Saw Gina Kissing Santa Claus. This one is from season 1, episode 15. It originally aired on December 17th, 1992. Lasse, I'm pretty sure you were alive. Yes, no?
Yes, for a few months.
Few months now. Lasse was a few month old baby. So Martin was an American sitcom that aired from August 27th, 1992 to May 1st, 1997. The show was created by Joe Bowman, Martin Lawrence, Topper Crew, and Bentley Kyle Evans. This was a very popular sitcom that aired on the Fox network, as it was one of their highest rated shows. It lasted for a total of 5 seasons, with 132 episodes produced. Out of those, we got 2 Halloween and 4 Christmas episodes. I have already done one of the Halloween ones for the Halloween podcast, and I'm looking forward to doing this Christmas one. The series is set in Detroit, Michigan, and stars comedian Martin Lawrence as a small-time radio DJ named Martin Payne. The show centers around Martin, his girlfriend Gina, and their friends as they deal with Martin's inappropriate behavior and his smart mouth. We all have that friend.
We all do, and sometimes I'm that friend.
I highly doubt that.
It depends on the occasion. Well, I'm afraid I don't have much to say about the show because it never, as far as I know, got a German release.
What?
And so I don't have any... Yes!
How could it not get
a German
release?
I don't know why.
I don't understand. This has never happened to us before, Lasse.
I know, but that's a fact. I didn't find anything. And so I don't remember anything about the show. Before you approached me about it, I didn't even know it existed.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, you kind of... did you watch any other episodes or just the Christmas one?
I read up on the show before, and then I just watched the Christmas one, and I got through it fine. I knew who the characters were and what the relationships were supposed to be, so I didn't have much trouble getting into it.
Okay, well, so we don't let the listeners down, since you know a little bit about the show, you know about the characters. What would this show have been called in Germany?
I guess Martin?
Come on, you can't come up with something better for our listeners?
I don't know what a good name would have been. Martin, ein Großmauler Mikro. I don't know.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds great.
The translation would be Martin, a smart mouth at the microphone.
Oh, boy. All right, so you have no memories, which is fine. I mean, I do remember watching this show as a kid, but I didn't watch it religiously. I mean, it was something that was on, and if it was on, I would much be rather like watching cartoons or something like that. So my brothers would watch it. I never really got into it. It's one of those shows that I didn't start seeking out again until I wanted more nostalgic stuff sometime. Like, I don't know, maybe when I was 30 or late 20s, right around there, I don't know. But that's when I started watching this show again. That's when it started to get back into my life. I did watch a lot of these when my son Callan was born. Like I mentioned in one podcast, I don't remember which one it was. It was either the Halloween one or this one. But when we had my son Callan, my wife would... I'd let my wife sleep through the first half of the night, and then I would go to sleep, and then she would take care of the baby for the other half. And when I would stay up all the way up until 2 a.m., I used to watch Martin all the time. It was like always on MTV. It was like always on syndication. So I watched all of these, and the Christmas one, for whatever reason, has really stuck with me. It's one of those episodes where when I would be driving with my daughter Callie and she would be watching stuff on my iPod, she would put on this episode and she would watch it, and I'd listen to it in the car. And I don't know, we both always liked it. She used to call it The Imposter. Like, that's the name of the show. It was The Imposter, the Santa Imposter, because in the show he's like the imposter of Santa. So that's always stuck with me.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, so Lassa, tell us... I wanted to let you know, because in our... in a previous episode, I think, which one was it? Was it when we did...
Sister.
Yeah, when we did Sister, you mentioned, like, hey, I want to see more Black Santas. And I was like, okay, for the next sitcom, I will find a Black Santa and we will do that. Was this what you were expecting by Black Santa?
It wasn't what I expected, but I was very pleased with the results.
I am so glad you were. So, Lassa, tell us who was in the show.
In the show, okay, we have Martin Lawrence as Martin Payne. He's the lead, and he's a smart mouth, of course. We have Tisha Campbell as Gina Waters. She's Martin's girlfriend. She's very sweet and loving. Thomas Michael Ford as Tommy Strawn. He's the best friend of Martin. He's intelligent, and he has passed away.
Keeping up with the theme.
Yeah. we have Tichina Arnold, played by she plays Pam James. She's Gina's best friend. She's a strong woman and Martin's arch nemesis. Carl Anthony Payne II as Cole Brown. He's Martin's dim-witted friend, who I enjoyed quite a bit in this episode. Garrett Morris as Dan Winters, Martin's boss, owner of the radio station. He was also really, really fun. John Grease as Shane McDermott, Martin's co-worker and radio engineer. And in this very episode, we have a few new characters. Mike Haggerty plays the mall Santa at the beginning. We have also Martin Lawrence playing Roscoe. Then we have Arthur Reggie the Third. He's playing Arthur Waterhead. Mikey Brown as the boy number two. And
that's how it was Janice Mollet. Boy number
is there
two.
Boy number one?
Yeah, boy number one is Arthur, but because, like, at one point in the episode, Tommy says, hey, Arthur, sit down. So that's how I got his name, Arthur. And I put two and two together, like, his name is Arthur, he's Arthur in the show. So I put Arthur, and then Martin calls him Waterhead, so I put Waterhead in there. But he was billed as boy one.
Okay, good call. And we have Janice Smollett-Bell as Psycho Girl.
She was billed as, I think, girl number one or something, but I mean, she's clearly the psycho girl in this episode.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, the quick synopsis. Quick synopsis is Martin dresses up as Santa for Tommy's Big Brother program, and I guess it could have been more in detail, but that's basically it.
That's true, absolutely. There's also some information about the two lead actors, of course, I researched. Most of us, and I do too, know Martin Lawrence, of course. He's still a big star. Most of us know him from the Bad Boys movies by Michael Bay, with the third film currently being in production, as far as
really?
I know.
They're actually doing that?
Yes, they're doing it. I guess the fan requests got too strong.
Oh, wow.
And you won't believe this, dear listeners, but he was actually born in Frankfurt am Main, Hessen, Germany.
How does this keep happening to us?
I don't know. It's so weird. As Martin Fitzgerald Lawrence on April 16th, 1965.
Oh my goodness. We are totally destined for this, Lassa. I don't know what other proof people need.
Fate exists.
This is the second time somebody was born. Well, there was another one too of, I don't remember what
sister,
it was,
sister.
But yeah, it was sister, but there was another German relation that I don't remember what it was, but I don't know.
Yeah, true. I don't remember it either, but it's fun. And then we have Tisha Michelle Campbell. She was in Little Shop of Horrors, Homeward Bound 2, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, which is a very, very funny movie I can recommend, and Blindspotting. And on TV, she was in a bunch of stuff, including Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Everybody Hates Chris, Dr. Ken, and of course, My Wife and Kids with Damon Wayans, which I used to watch quite a bit.
I really used to like that one.
Yeah, I did. It was always on when I didn't have to study, you know, and then I was just like, okay, just play it on the TV, and I enjoyed watching it while I was doing something else.
Oh yeah, unfortunately that one is from 2001, so we can't do it on the show, but we're thinking about doing a Patreon, and who knows, maybe stuff like this will show up there. Who knows?
Oh yeah, could be an opportunity, of course.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, so we are going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we will give you a full run through. Be right back.
Children, today we'll be reading the best Christmas ever. Our story begins with
Christmas Crunch. Crunchy sweet berry stars, stockings, trees,
and these, my new Jingle Bell Rocks. Just pour some in and stir till your milk turns red.
Rockin' red.
It's a tasty part of a balanced holiday breakfast.
This crunch is only here for Christmas, and that's one reason it's
the best Christmas ever.
Christmas and all year round. Nothing escapes the power of a dirt devil.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed those Christmas commercials.
Yes, they're always a lot of fun.
So, let's start with the opening scene. Lyle, take it from here.
Yes, opening scene. Little boy Roscoe is sitting on Santa's lap. He's being his usual booger self. I mean, every time you see Roscoe, he's always got boogers on his face. He was wisecracking to the Santa. Roscoe tells the Santa that he smells funky, that he's been sitting behind the reindeers for too long. Santa gets fed up and asks, basically just says, "What the hell do you want for Christmas?" And Roscoe wants to know how a fat man like him can fly when most fat men he know can't even get their butts off the chair. Santa tells him that he's getting a lump of coal for Christmas, and they just bicker back and forth. Santa basically just pushes Roscoe off of his lap, and Roscoe yells from the ground that's why he only works one day a year and Mrs. Claus is on welfare. What did you think of Roscoe?
I actually assumed it was an exaggerated flashback.
I guess it could work as a flashback, but Roscoe is like an actual character in the show.
Oh, okay, I see. But I just mistook it as, oh, this is a flashback just inside his mind, because he clearly is a grown man playing a little boy.
No, it's an actual character. He is Gina's arch nemesis.
Oh, okay, I see. Interesting.
They fight all the time. Like they're always fighting.
Then yeah, we got the opening credits.
Yeah, what did you think of those opening credits? I always want to know what your thoughts are with these American opening credits.
Well, they were quite long, but also very stylish and fun. Kind of weird sometimes, a little bit distracting with all the stuff that's going on, but I really enjoyed watching all of those images go by.
Oh, awesome. Well, keep going.
Yes, we are in Martin's apartment. Cole is watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Tommy's looking in the refrigerator. He's telling Cole that they need to find a better place to hand out. The only thing Martin has to eat is milk and cheese, and they're both in the same carton.
That's like the greatest line ever.
Yes. Martin, Gina, and Pam walk in. They're coming back from shopping. Cole tries using a mistletoe on Pam. Again, the mistletoe thing. Mm-hmm. It just keeps following us.
I know. What do you think this is? A Christmas podcast? Why do we keep seeing mistletoe all the time?
But it's always the same gag.
It was a big player in the 90s, apparently.
Yeah, but it's never, except for the Third Rock from the Sun episode, it was never just a thing hanging somewhere. It is always like those pervy guys pulling it out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's trying to use a mistletoe on Pam.
Well, one of these episodes, we're going to find one where the mistletoe gag actually works. I'm pretty sure we're going to find it somewhere.
It would be awesome. She steps on it and calls it garbage. Everyone laughs. And Tommy asks how shopping went. Everyone says fine, except for Martin, who hated it. Tommy says that on Friday, he's having a night with Santa at the Big Brothers Association and wants Martin to play Santa. Martin is so uninterested. He has the Christmas spirit, but he doesn't like to dress up. Everyone says it'll be fun, but he doesn't want to. And Tommy thinks it's important for the kids to see a black Santa. Pam says, and for me it is as well.
Okay, keep going.
I requested this. And Pam says they don't need him. Vetway will help Tommy. Cole says he'll be Santa. He used to have a lot of kids as friends when he was younger.
That's another great line.
Yeah, and Tommy says, great. Gina will be Mrs. Claus, Pam will be an elf, everyone is getting involved and try to bring Martin in. It looks like he's going for it, but says he can't because it's the same night he's jingling Mrs. Claus bells.
And that look on his face when he says it is priceless.
Yeah, and that hat Cole is wearing, I want that freaking hat.
Oh, it was a reindeer hat, no?
Yes, yes, yeah. It was amazing.
eBay is your friend, buddy. So next scene, we're at the radio station. Stan walks in yelling Merry Christmas, and he hands a card to Martin and to Sean. Sean tells Martin not to open it because it's probably a pink slip. And Stan says not to worry because if he was gonna fire them, that he would send them a letter at their home, not bother, you know, with giving it to him at work. Martin says that the card he got looks like the one he got last year, and Stan basically scolds him and says, yeah, I found that in the garbage last year. Waste not, want not. He's such a cheapo.
Yeah.
Martin asks what they're going to do for Christmas. Stan is making Sean work, so Sean's got to work. And Stan, he is going to go down to the soup kitchen like he always does. He's not going to go to help. He's going to go for the free soup. And he pretty much says free food and being around people that have nothing to live for makes him feel like a king. It's so terrible with this person. He leaves basically singing Deck the Halls, and that's basically it.
Yeah. At the Big Brothers event, Gina is on stage singing and dancing a song. The kids look like they want nothing to do with it. And Pam is basically throwing large handfuls of candy canes on the ground. Gina asks if the song was fun. They all yell back no. They start wondering where Cole is since he hasn't shown up. Tommy says he'll try calling him again. A little boy asks Mrs. Claus, where's Santa? She says he'll be there soon. Pam says that he's just feeding his reindeer. Another boy says, how does she know? She's nothing but a lady in a dumb suit. She pulls him close and says that she's a witch. That's how she knows, and to sit down.
That's such a great thing. Like in the, if you listen to it, in the audience, you hear somebody yell, yeah, go, sister. I just love that. I love it when the audience yells things out and you can hear it on the show.
Oh, I missed it. Amazing.
Listen to it again with headphones.
I will. They all want Santa. The little crazy girl says that maybe she got hit by a bus, that maybe he got hit by a bus and his guts are all splattered on the road. All of the kids start saying all these morbid things about where Santa is. He has a tumor. He had a heart attack. All of that.
These kids are psychos, man. Especially that little girl. She's always coming up with these terrible things about Santa.
Most kids are psychos.
Yes, and that little girl is the same little girl that is in Full House. She is Michelle's friend.
Oh.
And I saw a picture of her recently, and man, she is a looker now. Oof, my goodness. All right.
Aren't they always?
I guess. I don't know. Okay, so cut to the hall. Tommy is he's on the payphone talking to Cole's mother, and that got me thinking, like, man, payphones. Do you remember payphones, Lassa?
I do.
Is it still a thing over there?
I think you don't really look for them anymore, but I think there are still some things around standing in the streets.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's like none here at all. They're all gone.
Yeah.
And that just made me think, too, like if they had cell phones, they could have just called Cole on the cell phone and be like, hey, Cole, where are you? And he would have been able to tell them where he was.
Yeah. Oh, the magic of modern technology.
Yes. So they're talking to Cole's mother. She says she doesn't know. She hasn't seen him since he left her work. And Pam comes up behind Tommy. Pam asks what they're going to do with the kids. They're acting like brats and they're being too restless. Like they don't know what to do. They don't have anyone to play Santa. They don't even have a costume. And Martin walks up asking if Gina is ready. Tommy says he needs Martin badly. And then Martin smacks him away and says, hey, man, I'm not like that, man. they tell him that he needs to play Santa, and he says no again. Then he asks where Gina is. They peek around the court to the doorway where they're at, and he looks in, and the kids are all sitting there throwing all of these candy canes at her, and she's screaming, taking cover. And Martin comes back and tells them that to give him a costume, and they don't have a costume, so he takes Tommy's sweater, and Pam says that he can have her tights, and she takes off her tights and gives it to him, and he puts on the getup.
After a commercial break, Tommy comes in disappointed, telling the kids to calm down. He tried consoling Gina, who is basically in shock. And Tommy says he hears Santa, and in walks Martin, wearing a red getup with cotton balls as a beard. The most ghetto-looking Santa ever.
Was this what you were thinking of when you thought Black
Yes,
Santa?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
The kids look at him like they have no idea what to think. Martin sits and asks how we're doing. Little boy yells that he's not Santa. He's an imposter. And Martin comes up to his face and says that he is Santa, and to not think that he didn't see what the little boy was doing last night, and to shut up before he tells his mother. Another boy asks if he knows everyone's kid's name. And Martin says he does. Tests him by asking what his name is. Martin thinks for a second, then says, Waterhead.
Your name is Waterhead. Now sit down.
Another kid tells him,
what the heck does Waterhead mean? I don't know.
Waterhead, like when you have a big head with nothing in it, I guess.
Is that what it is? I don't know. I got to look it up to make sure.
It's actually a curse word in Germany, like a little kid's word for somebody with a big head, or maybe for somebody who is overweight. We call him Waterhead, or in German, Wasserkopf. It's not as common today, but it still exists.
Let me see if I can find something. Hold on. Urban Dictionary. Waterhead is a person with a mental health problem. That's what Waterhead means.
You need to include this in the outtakes.
No thanks.
After the show, it would be so funny. You're not able to pronounce mental.
I can't pronounce mental for some reason. I don't know why I couldn't. I think it's a stupid it's a stupid cherry Coke that I'm drinking is making me all gassy.
Too good.
Yes.
Okay. Another kid tells him that he asked for a Ninja Turtle toy and he didn't bring it. And Waterhead says that he didn't bring his Sega Genesis. And the year before that he didn't bring any Transformers. And then the year before that he didn't bring him a Light Bright. What's a Light Bright?
A Light Bright. It's, look it up on YouTube. It's like a... it's like a board that lights up, and you put like a stencil in front of it, and then you get like these little pegs, and you can plug them into different things to make different like designs, like a clown or a whale or who knows what else. But it's one of those things.
Oh, those things! I remember the commercial: light bright,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's it. That's a light bright.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that now.
I have one from like the 70s.
Oh, great! Wonderful. Another boy says he got a Light Bright and didn't even ask for it.
This is my favorite part.
Yeah, Waterhead tells the boy that it's his and to give it to him. Then he yells to Santa that he messed up. Martin controls the kids and says that Christmas isn't about presents. He goes into telling the kids the story of Christmas. He starts the story with Mary and Joseph and that they were going to have God's baby. They had to go back to Bethlehem to be counted for the census, and that they couldn't find a place to stay.
Yes, and then we kind of get like this flash into the story, and we're in like in the story now, biblical times. And Martin is playing Joseph. Gina is Mary. They walk into the inn and ring the bell. Sean is playing the innkeeper. He welcomes them to the inn where they always leave the torch on for them, is what he says. I'm assuming that's a play on the Motel 6 slogan, "We leave the light on for you." He asks them for a reservation, but they don't have one. He tells them that there is no more room in the inn and that they should have called in advance. Call in advance, where's the phone? Martin says that they will just stay in the back in the stables. And another couple walks in, a white couple, I should say. The innkeeper, like, gives them a room, and it turns into, like, this whole racial thing. And Martin says he has a feeling it's going to be like that for 2,000 years. And then he yells to Gina, no justice, no peace.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's so many great zingers in that. Like also when he feels the belly and it's like it felt like he's walking on water. that one got me good.
It feels like he's just walking on water, girl.
Also, like, is there a Bible in the room? Only the first half.
The Torah. That's all that's there.
Ah, so good.
Yes, there's a lot of good zingers in there. I left some of them out because I want people to check out the show so they can laugh.
Yeah. Back to the kids. Martin tells them that the baby was born just like the prophet said, that a huge star lit up the sky. It was so bright you can even see it in the daytime. Waterhead asks if they have to poke a hole in a shoebox to look at it. Martin is so fed up, he tells Waterhead to not even bother waking up for Christmas.
Now that I know what Waterhead is, it's killing me even more.
Yeah.
It's so mean.
He continues to tell the story and says that the wise man followed the star.
Oh, boy. Okay. Waterhead. Oof. Calm down, Lyle. All right. In the story, Tommy, Cole, and Stan are playing the wise men. Pam is the wife, I guess. I don't know. It's never explained of one of the wise men. Stan, in his character, is complaining that they have to walk all of that way to go see the baby's Jesus, and then they have to bring a gift. Tommy says that, of course they do. It's the Son of God. And Cole adds, how do you think it's going to look if we don't bring a gift? Pam says she doesn't care where they go as long as they bring her back something. Stan basically just tells her to go back to the house. So the wise men, they walk and they walk and they walk. We get a little montage of them not knowing where to go. They're kind of like looking at the map, looking here, pointing there. They're walking different paths. We get to a scene where they rest for a little bit. They have a little exchange. Cole says that looking at the stars like looking into a flash cube, and then Stan hands them all sunglasses and says, yeah, here, wear these. Everyone's gonna think we're gonna look large. And then they all put on the sunglasses and do like a little Stevie Wonder impression.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Back with the kids, Cole finally shows up, saying he got caught up at work. They stand in the doorway as the kids look intently at Martin, as Martin continues the story, saying that they finally found baby Jesus. And back inside the story, Martin and Gina are in the manger, staring at the baby. We get to look at the baby, and it's a big-headed Martin with baby clothes on. That close-up killed me. How he makes the baby noises, it was just the funniest thing.
Yeah, what he says is he first says Gaga, and then he says good new year, like good new year, and then he says what's up, all in baby talk.
Ah, that was so amazing. Martin looks at the wise man approaching and asks who they are. Gina says, I don't know, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Martin replies with, no, they're too early. Martin confronts them, telling them that whatever they are selling, he isn't buying. Stan says, hallelujah, the Son of God is born unto us. And Martin sees that they are coming to worship, so he invites them in, offering wine, fish, bread, Kool-Aid, come on in.
Kool-Aid.
And the wise men fall on their knees and present the gifts to baby Jesus, gold, because he is king. Frankincense, because he's God, and myrrh, because he's also man. Martin thanks them and quickly takes the gold from Tommy.
Let me hold on to that gold, brother.
That reminded me of Life of Brian, when they bring the gold and the frankincense, the myrrh, and the mother, played by Terry Jones, is like, yeah, thank you for the gold and the frankincense, but the myrrh, you can spew it in your hair next time.
Oh boy. All right, so back to the kids. Martin is telling them that the reason why we give gifts during Christmas is to remember that Jesus was born to give us all hope and to love our brothers and sisters. That's a good message. The little psycho girl tells Martin that was a deep story And Martin says to her to give him some love, and they give a big hug, and he looks at her and tells her that he's going to get her some help. She sits down. Martin tells Pam to go ahead and start singing a song. She goes into Silent Night with all of the kids are watching peacefully. And when the song's over, Cole busts in through the back and starts yelling, ho, ho, ho. All the kids are all excited. Waterhead says that if this is the real Santa, that means he's an imposter, and points at Martin. And Martin goes, no, I'm from the ghetto. The psycho girl says, stone him. And they all jump on him. And we go to the end credits.
Stone him. Another Monty Python Life of Brian connection. Mm-hmm. Then everybody is looking at the camera singing Joy to the World. When was this recorded exactly? Because Martin is in his regular clothes and Cole isn't wearing a Santa suit. It looks like he's wearing what Martin used as a Santa suit. Gina is in the Mrs. Claus suit. We can't see Pam's legs, so if she has the tights she gave Martin on, we don't know. If she did, then this had to have been before they filmed the storytelling scene, maybe. Who knows? Seems like something they would record after everything was already filmed. But, hey, we are not the people who made this. They had their reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they had to... I don't know why they had to record it first, if that's the case. I don't know. Whatever. So that's the end of the show. That was it.
Yeah, that's the end of the show.
So we are going to go to another commercial break, and then when we come back, we will give you our other segments. Be right back.
Merry Christmas, merry, merry Christmas from your Kmart Christmas store. Save on bowling balls and skirts, sweaters, rods and wheels and shirts.
Cameras, TVs, bikes and plants, handbags, bath oil, slippers, pants.
Mirrors, perfume, gowns and socks, toasters, roasters, robes and clocks. Candy, records, film and toys, at Santa Land for girls and boys. Christmas spotlight, every face at Kmart's Christmas saving place.
This Christmas, Pepsi would like to help you celebrate the holidays with a chance of winning a present from Mario in the Pepsi Nintendo Holiday Game, where you could win one of thousands of terrific Nintendo prizes, like these action sets, game packs, and best of all, the sensational new Game Boy. So hurry up and play before it's all over. Look for details on how to win your Nintendo prize wherever you see these Pepsi holiday displays.
And welcome back again. Hope you had fun with more Christmas commercials.
So we are going to our new segment. Well, it's not new anymore because we've done it a bunch of times. But favorite scene, and Lasse, it is your turn.
Well, that choice wasn't so hard. My favorite scene is actually the last flashback when baby Jesus is born and the three kings come. The deliveries and the cut to Martin's baby Jesus. It's just all so hilarious.
Okay. That's a good scene. We will play it for you right now.
And at long last, they reach baby Jesus' bed. Oh, it's the cutest little king in the whole wide world.
He looks just like a little angel.
Oh, good noise. What? Psst. Mary.
Yeah?
Who are those three brothers dressed like Queen Latifah?
Joseph, Jehovah Witnesses?
Nah, they too early. Look here. I don't care what your brothers are selling. Take your humpback dog and go on about your business. Hallelujah. The Son of God is born unto us. Okay, right. Hey, can I get you guys anything? You know, a wine, fish, a bread, Kool-Aid? Come on in.
Gold, because he is king.
Frankincense, because he is God.
And myrrh, because he is also man. We appreciate that. Thank you. Oh, that's our boy. You go, girl. Don't you let me hold that gold, bro.
And welcome back. Now it is time for us to talk about the IMDb reviews. Lasse, there are no reviews for this episode. Does that surprise you?
Kind of, yeah, but hey, you never know what the users watch and what they rate. I don't know, maybe this wasn't as popular as we thought it was.
No, well, it did get a 6.8 stars out of 10, and I believe that was out of 25 user ratings, which is pretty good. 6.8 isn't that bad.
That's good. That is certainly good.
Yeah, it looks like it's all over the board. Some people gave it fives, other people gave it nines, eights. It's everywhere. It's not just one big old thing. I mean, there are no threes. There are no there's one person gave it a four, one person gave it a two, one person gave it a one. I don't know what that person was watching, but this does not deserve a one. But most of the votes went to 10 and six. Most of the votes, they were tied.
Yeah.
So 6.8. Pretty good, but I'm kind of sad there was no reviews. I'm pretty sure when we do our next episode, our next sitcom episode, that one's going to have reviews because it is a much more popular show.
Oh, I hope so.
Our final thoughts. Lasse, what did you think?
Yeah, final thoughts. I thought this was a very, very funny episode for somebody who has never seen the show before. Some of the relationships were a little bit confusing at the beginning, but luckily I read up on some of his stuff, and I found it quite enjoyable and really, really funny. It's a shame that this didn't seem to have a German release of any kind. But hey, it's great to discover new stuff and recommend it to people who maybe haven't seen it yet and to check it out wherever they can.
Yes, of course. It was a good show. I really liked this one. I don't know why. Maybe because it's a nostalgia thing for me. I mean, this was, what, 92? I was 7 when this thing came out. I would have been one of those snot-nosed kids in getting the story told to me. I don't know what it is about this show, but I really like it. I think I really like all of the message that Martin is trying to portray, but the kids are giving him a lot of backlash, so he's kind of, like, doing it in a way that the kids will understand by being goofy, by, you know, being very stern with them at some points. But he got his message across. All of the kids did quiet down. They calmed down towards the very end. So that was really cool. And Pam, when she sang Silent Night, she did a really good job. Like that actually like touched my heart when she was singing that. I thought it was really good. She has a really good voice. And with that song and looking at all the scenery with the kids looking at her sing, it was just a nice moment. So that was one of my favorite moments out of the episode. But it was good. I mean, I liked the whole thing. I really liked how Martin had that beard and it was all nothing but a bunch of glued on cotton balls. And when you're watching his scenes, like you can see some of the cotton balls start falling off of his beard. They're like hanging down. It's awesome. Yeah. It was a good show. I mean, if you guys haven't seen this show, you guys should check it out. It's really worth it.
Yeah, it's fun. From what I've seen, it seems to be very, very enjoyable.
Yes, of course. So, Lasse, that is going to do it for that. So, we are going to move into reading one of our Apple Podcast reviews because we are trying to get more up there. And if you leave us a review, either Lasse or me, we will read it like we are going to do right now from Cassie Ray, as Lasse said. How did you do it, Lasse?
Yeah, I recommended to spell it like this. Cassie, was that the first one?
Yes, Cassie.
Cassie Ray!
Yes, Cassie Ray, thank you so much for being a listener and leaving us a 5-star review. And the title of the review is Nostalgia is Real with This! Exclamation point. I have breezed through all of these in the last week. Thank you so much. And I have had so many great memories brought back thanks to this podcast. You are very welcome. That is the whole idea. I love the breakdown and the movies, episodes, and holiday specials they choose are great. 10 out of 10. Cassie, thank you so much for those words. Means a lot to me and Lasse.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. So I guess that's going to do it for this episode. Lasse, do you have anything else to add?
No. That's pretty much it. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here again as the co-host.
As always.
Yeah, exactly. Without me, the show wouldn't exist.
Oh, boy. Easy, Batman. All right. So we have to mention this because we don't mention this enough, but we are actually part of a podcast network. It is called the Christmas Podcast Network. They have a lot of good Christmas-themed shows on there. So if you need to check it out, just look it up, Christmas Podcast Network. And you can check us out. You can check out all of the other shows on there. They're great. Good stuff.
Check us out. That sounded dirty.
Oh, yeah. All right. So if you would like to send us any questions, comments, or any pictures, Lassa, you can go ahead and send those to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. That is 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. And we are on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. And if you want a laugh, you should follow us on Twitter, because on every episode I try to do my best to come up with some funny zingers for every release. So check us out on Twitter.
Absolutely. You can find my own podcast, Fans About Films, on SoundCloud and iTunes. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Lasse Vogt. And I have a YouTube channel, Vet Deppert, where you can find all sorts of stupid stuff I did, including short films and some weird reviews, and I write German soundtrack reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com. Thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot to all of us, to both of us.
Yes, it does. All right, Lassa, then that is going to do it for this episode. We will see you guys again next week for another sitcom. Have a good night.
Take care. Bye-bye now.